Welcome to the Fresh Start Podcast, Episode 14, brought to you by attorneys Gina Cho and Jeff Curl of JC Law Group, whose practice is dedicated to bankruptcy for individuals and small businesses. Thanks for joining us. I'm Matt Hayes. Please note that this podcast is not legal advice. For more information, visit jclawgroup.com. Now let's welcome Gina and Jeff to our podcast. How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you, Matt?
I'm well. How are you doing, Jeff?
Good. Thanks, Matt.
We are starting a new series, a six-part series here on the podcast, six separate podcasts that you can download and listen to, of the six building blocks to creating a healthy financial future. These are the things and a real series that you can really take to heart and get the basics down that you need so that way you have long-term financial stability. Let's talk a little bit about that. First off, before we get into talking about the six and the individual ones, how did you two come up with this concept?
I think that these six building blocks or six steps, whatever you want to call them, are kind of common steps out in the financial planning community that are discussed and are considered kind of like in psychology or whatever. You know, everyone has like their own little world where they have, everyone kind of agrees that these five things, 10 things, whatever they may be, are the beginnings to a healthy whatever. In this case, it's a healthy financial future. So there's these six common things that we're going to talk about.
All right. Well, on this podcast, we're going to go over the first one. But before we do that, let's kind of give an overview of what these six are. So what are they?
So the six steps are, number one, maximize income and decrease expenses. Number two, pay down debt. Number three, to start an emergency fund. Number four, protect your family. Number five, grow your wealth. Number six, pass on your wealth.
All right, so let's dive into the first one then. Maximize income and decrease expenses. Jeff, tell me a little bit about this.
I think the maximize income part is a little bit silly to bring up because if we could all maximize income and just get more, we would. For the majority of us, that's a little bit of a goofy thing to say. But something that occurs to me as we're talking about it is to think of it maybe in a long-term fashion. Maybe you go back and you finish those credits at school and you get your bachelor's degree or you finish whatever vocational, whatever you're doing, because think of it in the long term. I mean, if you look at the statistics of people over their lifetime, those who have certain degrees or take certain steps, get this license or do whatever it is, they are going to earn more over their lifetime. And it's just sometimes people don't want to stop. They don't want to make the effort to do it, or they're just kind of in this little routine and it's comfortable. But I think just as far as maximizing your income, other than the fact that winning the lottery or just someone offering you a job that you never expect, it's not going to happen. You're going to have to take some steps to do it. That's just something I think of with as far as maximizing income.
And I think if you have certain skills, you can market those skills. So you might put an ad out on Craigslist, or you might become a freelance person on Elance or Odesk. You know, with technology now, there are so many different ways to increase your income, and you just have to be creative about it.
So you add in this income, every little bit helps. Maybe you can bring a little extra in. Now there's the decrease expenses part of that.
And this is where I think most of us have more control, and we have a say in this. I mean, there are those who they've maxed out their income and everything goes to rent and to food, and that's really it. But there's a good portion of people where they do have variable incomes or variable expenses, and they can attack them. And I think maybe one way to think about it is you've got fixed expenses and you've got variable expenses. And, you know, fixed expense is going to be your cable bill, your rent, things like that. You've got variable expenses like food. You may go out and eat, you may not, clothing, you may spend more or less. Anytime you can reduce fixed expenses, that is great because that's a constant you're going to get every time. And I think that a lot of us just fall into the trap with fixed expenses that we've been with this insurance company forever, so I'm just going to stay with them. I've had this thing insured forever. I'm going to keep insuring that. Even the concept of moving is so painful for most of us. Some people will just get stuck in these crazy rental arrangements and they could literally save $500 a month easily, and that's $6,000 a year in their pocket. But it's just something that we don't think about in terms of the fixed expenses. I don't know, Gina, what do you have to say about the fixed and the variable?
The fixed expenses, I think, may be a little bit more painful in the beginning, like canceling cable, for example, right? So, but that will give you a continual return on whatever you were paying. So if you were paying $120 a month, that's $120 in your pocket. And once you cancel it, you know, the savings will just continue to accrue.
Well, maybe they could compromise out too and go from the gold package just down to basic.
Yeah, it doesn't all have to be all or nothing. I mean, you know, Matt and I have talked about, for example, not buying coffee every morning. And it, you know, that may be difficult for some people to go like quit cold turkey and not buy their cups of coffee every morning. But maybe you can brew your coffee one day a week or figure out some other way of getting your coffee instead of buying it just one day a week. And that'll add up as well.
We have a lot of this information about these little things that you can do and find in your budget off our favorite 30-day budget tips, which you're doing off of jclawgroup.com on the blog. You know, little things like you talked about with coffee. My favorite is splitting expenses. When you buy a service for $9.99 or $19.99 a month, many times you're not using it 24/7. You could split it with somebody or a few people that may also need to use it, but only a certain amount of time. There's so many little ways that you can do little spending here and there all across your budget, and all those little things add up.
That's right. And something I would add, and this is going to bleed over into another topic that we're going to talk about, but I think that if you are going to cut something out, if you do have the discipline and you get rid of coffee, and let's say it's $50 a week, I think you should take that $50 a week and you should have a savings account, a cash jar, something that you immediately put that money into on a daily, weekly basis so that you can see the result. Because if you just stop buying coffee, I think most of us are just going to go out and spend a little more at lunch or do something else. I think it makes it such a more achievable, goal-oriented result when you actually have something in your bank account so that after that first month, you have 200. At the end of the year, you have a couple thousand. After a couple years, you add something else, you have 5,000. Then you get to 10,000. When you start seeing, you hit these benchmarks, then you have these little psychological rewards that I think makes it so much better and easier to minimize your expenses.
Yeah, I think it's almost like starting an exercise routine. And in the beginning, it's really painful. You don't really enjoy it, but you kind of get the groove and you can push yourself a little bit further next time, run a little bit further. And it just, you know, it really just encourages you psychologically.
And I think a lot of that also is out of habit. It's very hard to break some habits. It's very easy just to grab the debit card and go, it's okay, it's only $2 or $3 out of my checking account. Setting aside a certain amount of cash that you maybe keep in your pocket of, okay, this is my spending money for discretionary small little items throughout the week. Once this is gone and that's it. You have to force yourself, similar to like you said, it's like an exercise routine of setting it and actually doing it.
Hey, Jeff, what do you think about the envelope method?
I think the envelope method is great. And the envelope method is, for example, saying twice a month, I will put $250 in this envelope, once on the 1st, once on the 15th. And that $250 will be my food and gas for that first half of the month. And that $250 will be my food and gas for the second half of the month. And that way you give yourself a fixed budget, whatever, you know, your envelope can be $100, your envelope can be $500 for different things, just whatever it is you need to do. And it's the psychology of parting with the money, of designating the money, and it's easier to trace because you're right. When you use the debit card or the credit card or whatever you do, it just happens. It just, you swipe this thing and you get your item. And then at the end of the month, it's like, oh God, you know, now I have to pay this big bill. I really like the envelope method.
Yeah, and I think when you use your debit card or your credit card, it makes it so much easier to use. There isn't that pain factor of physically having to count out your dollars and hand it to the cashier. I mean, I read this really interesting study that said when McDonald's started accepting credit cards, the average purchase went from $4.50 to $7. And I think it's because when you can just charge something, you're like, oh yeah, you know, I'll take that extra, you know, frosty or whatever it is, it just makes it easier to spend more.
And that's how people then get into trouble then and get more into more debt because they think, oh, I'll just throw that extra dollar or two in and that all adds up. And yet here we are talking about doing little things to save that extra cash so that way you can pay down your debt, which is what we're going to talk about in our next podcast and get into a little bit more, which is item number two. Gina and Jeff, thanks for your time today. Some great information.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks for joining us today. For more information and to listen to other episodes of our podcast, as well as to learn about our 30 favorite budget tips, go to jclawgroup.com. JC Law Group is a debt relief agency under the United States Bankruptcy Code.